Welcome to today's PDP on Retirement Working Group call on 30 November at 1700 UTC. On today's call, we have Nina Orlick, who is just joining, and Catherine Markusen, Eberhard Lisse, Jaap Akkerhoof, Kim Davies, Nigel Roberts, Stephen Deerhake, and somebody just joined. We have several apologies. Peter Koch, Kaylee Nalon, Martin Boyle, Peter Vergata, Annabeth Langa, and Debbie Monahan. As a reminder, Barack Otieno is on the bridge only. As a reminder, these calls are recorded and transcribed. I would also like to remind participants to state your name before speaking for purposes of the transcript and keep your phones and microphones muted to avoid any background noise. Thank you, and back to you, Nigel.
Thank you, Kim. Agenda item two, action items.
I can't hear you.
Action items. Kim, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Nigel.
Kim, how can you hear me?
You're a little faint.
Okay, well, something's changed since we tested it earlier.
Okay, there are two action items. First one from the 31st of August, the ISO 316 standard of membership working group. That's now closed. That should be disappearing, I guess, from the agenda. Bart, do you want to say anything on this?
No, yeah, maybe just once more. If you're interested in the full standard, you are invited to send me or Jaap an email so we can forward you an edition. That's it, and this is the last time I will mention it.
Okay, Bart, thank you. Second action item from the 2nd of November was to update the glossary document scenario 1. I'm presuming that's done, so see item 3 and 4. Is that right, Bart?
That's correct. So they have been circulated last Monday.
Okay, so that disappears as an action item. Do you want A as an action item on the next agenda, or do you want to disappear?
Nope, they will disappear. So the new action items will be definitely new ones. All the action items on the list will be new ones.
Okay, then moving on to agenda item 3, glossary terminology document. Bart, as I understand it, updated it with the recent changes. It's just coming on the screen now. Can we have some comments, please?
Yes, let me explain what I've done following the discussion in Abu Dhabi. The document is scrollable, so if you would go to, if you recall, in Abu Dhabi, those present, we had a discussion on the specific terminology in the context of the ISO 3166 standard. The issue was that effectively there are two sources, there is one source only, that's the standard itself. However, in the ISO online browsing platform, there is a glossary which provides some definitions. And to make very clear the differences between the standard, what is included in the standard and what is only in the definitions in the glossary, I've tried to go over the document again and try to identify it. So as you can see on this is page 2 of the document where it starts, if a term is not defined in the standard, it is clearly marked as such. If there is a definition in the online platform, I have still included it, referenced it as such, and also, as it is not defined, included a note that, as it is not defined in the standard, it's only included for informational purposes, and using policy rules should be avoided. That was the conclusion of the discussion in Abu Dhabi. And I hope this reflects as I can go through it, or you can scroll at your leisure through it, and you see it's now been consistently applied. I see a typo, unfortunately. But it's, as you'll see, that's been applied throughout the document right now. And it does have some implications, as you will see, with some of the terminology that was used by the working group earlier, and it has an impact on, for example, scenario one, but I'll go over that one in a minute. So this is the update on the glossary terminology document. So I think what is a relevant one, listening to some of the conversations, is, for example, the term transitionary reserve. It is not defined in the standard. It's only defined in the ISO 3166 browsing platform. So again, this has an impact on the scenario as proposed by the working group. That's what I've done. Any questions, remarks? I see. Ebert, you have your hand up.
Yeah. I think we should reduce the number of conflicting terms as much as possible, and we should standardize on terms, and if there is conflicting terms, we should use the ones from the ISO standard or as close to as possible to the ISO standards, if it's possible, for our work. And we should then write those down in this document and consistently only use those terms, even if we discuss it with other people and they use other terms like in the CWG. It immensely irritated me when they strayed away from the FOI definitions just because they thought they felt like it. We should try not only to stay always on the same terms, but also when we discuss it with others, say, sorry, you're using the term so-and-so is appreciated. This is the term we're using. I'm not saying what any of these terms should be. I have my own opinion about some of them, but that's a matter for the group to decide. But we should basically agree on reducing the number of conflicting terms to one each.
Yeah, thank you, Everhart. That's a good suggestion, I think. The last thing you want to do is to get you irritated as well. Any other comments on this? Does that suggestion find general approval? Help me out here.
You must ask whether there is opposition to it.
Well, I'm expecting people to put up their little flag saying agree or disagree, actually, but is there any opposition to Everhart's suggestion? I get a tick from Banco, a tick from Alan. I think we've got two ticks we do. You can put some more ticks on if you want.
Kim has his hand up as well. So, Kim, please go first.
Yeah,
Kim Davies.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make the sort of the observation / request. I mean, I'm not against the concept. I think operationally we try to use the same terminology across the board independent of what kind of TLD it is. So I just encourage this group to be mindful that please, if you're going to recommend terminology to be used for certain acts, please be cognizant of how that would be used in the same fashion for GTLDs and other kinds of TLDs. That makes it a lot easier for us to create, you know, common documentation and common terminology across all of our operations rather than having to use a different set of terminology depending on the type of TLD.
That's great, Ken. Thank you for that input. So I take it you'll be paying close attention to what we might propose as recommended terminology. I really don't want us to get into a sponsoring organisation debate for the next 15 years. Any other comments?
Stephen has his hand up.
Quick question to Kim, Stephen Derhek for the record. Do you guys internally have a glossary of the GTLD terms so that we have some idea where we might be divergent? Thanks.
On this topic, not that immediately comes to mind. I mean, we can do a little bit of research and compilation to see where there might be terminology that's relevant. I will say that, you know, obviously the FOI working group came up with the recommendation that we have CCTLD managers for in the place of sponsor organization, but that left us with a question of what to call the operators of GTLD. So that's an example where we've necessarily had to diverge what we call, you know, generically the party that operates a TLD. So, I mean, just flag it as an issue. I'm sure we will discuss it in depth as we go through the process.
Okay, Kim, that's very helpful. Thanks. Any more comments on the terminology
document? Yeah, pass his hand up.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Jaap Akker for the record. There's a meeting of the MA 3166 in December, and I haven't seen, and one of the points is looking at the term of references, which is only used internally. But what I would like to do is take this list, and especially for the non-assigned, for the things which I'm, take this list to the, or at least part of the list, to the meeting and point out that there are, that people looking closely at the standard have pointed out that some terms are not defined, and maybe that will help in the discussion at the standard organization itself to make to be more precise in the way they describe things.
Thanks, Jaap. I think I'll probably speak for everybody here. I don't think we have any objections to you sharing the route that we're taking and the way we're thinking with your colleagues on the ISPO. I think that would be useful synergy, unless I see any objections. Eberhard, your hand appears to be up.
I think Jaap's suggestion is excellent, and my point was not so much deciding what to do, but that follow the same thing, try to reduce the number of conflicting terms to as much as possible. And if the ISO organization realizes that they have their terms ambiguous, it might be helpful that they do some work on their side as well, so that in the end we arrive at an unambiguous definition, which is going to be much easier for everybody. The content, what we're going to say, how we're going to make a definition individually is very premature. We must just agree on the principle, basically, that we work towards getting as few definitions as possible, and definitions that could be used for GTLDs and CCTLDs if at the same time, if at all possible. I think what Kim is saying there is also very, very, very true.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eberhard. Any more comments on this agenda item?
Yes, this is Bart again for the record. My suggestion is that what Joke is taking the note, that we will visit this as part of, say, a potential decision for next week in second reading. So we visited in the context of terminology again. So at least you've got a basic principle moving forward. So everybody had a chance to look at it and think about it, although it's non-contentious, probably at least those who are not able to make the call should not feel surprised by it.
I think that's true, although I do think that this is not really something that you're going to be formally doing first and second readings on. This is a living document that you're going to be continually updating with feedback. But good point. With that, I then conclude that we've come to the conclusion on this agenda item, unless I hear anything to the contrary or see any further hands up. Seeing nothing, let's move on. Can we have the agenda back, please? Okay, the agenda item 1, 2, 3, 4, perhaps remember them next time. Agenda item 4, update on the change of name scenario and a discussion about it. So I guess the update we'll get from Bart and the discussion I'm hoping will come from the members. Bart, you have the floor.
Thank you again, Nigel. This is Bart for the record. So this is version 4 of the document, and let me explain again what I've done following the discussions in Abu Dhabi. First of all, and this is, I think, and this was again pushed by Peter Koch and Nick Wenben, is that instead of using the change of name as a starting point, it's the change of a code element that is relevant for this scenario. So the change of the code element resulting from the change of the name of a country, that's effectively it. And if you look at the cases, so what I've done is throughout the document is use this type of terminology. Further, and following the discussions in Abu Dhabi and following the terminology, note that the transition reserved, which was included as well, is not a category of codes that is defined in the ISO 3166 standard. So that limits effectively the discussion. The real issue here now is the change of the code elements, where, and the underlying issue is it's the result of the change of a name, of a substantial change, a significant change of the name that requires the ISO 3166 to change the code element itself. So that's the scenario you effectively identified. Again, what I've done further is change the order a little bit, make it more chronological, and change of code elements. So moving, and the rest of the document is not so much, hasn't changed so much as a result. So these are the major changes with respect to this particular scenario. And further, and that's relevant for the next scenario as well, effectively, I think the first real question is whether the change of scenario, the change of whether the change, so the scenario, caused a retirement process in the past. So that's the historical analysis. And in this case, the change of a code element did. As you will see, some of the other scenarios identified by the working group did not use or did not result in a change of the code element. The one we're going to discuss, and say the next one we're going to discuss, is where a the removal of a code element from the standard itself resulted in a change that caused a retirement of CCTLDs. And effectively, this one and the second one are the only two occasions in the past or events in the past that caused the a retirement of a CCTLD. So that's it with respect to this document. Any questions, comments following the change based on the discussions in Abu Dhabi?
Okay, floor is open. Eberhard.
Eberhard.
The Burma changed its name to Myanmar in 89. That was before it had a CCTLD, before there was a CCTLD name created that corresponded to the code elements. Am I correct there?
You're correct.
I believe it is, because these are the examples of the scenarios. It doesn't mean they reflect a CCTLD. That's what you see as well. So these are the examples. The first list on page 1 are the examples from the ISO 3166 list itself and included in Nigel's overview. It doesn't mean they had an impact on say, or for the discussion, so there was no retirement in some cases. Like Belarus is another is another example, but there is the interesting one is although the name change was significant, it did not change the code element. So
okay, no, I just wanted to know whether it was overlooked, but if Myanmar didn't have a CCTD allocated corresponding to the code element, then it doesn't reflect here, ne?
Yeah. That is correct.
Okay. Any more comments or interventions? I'm sure there's lots of people on the call who are sitting there very quietly, and I'm sure you have something to share. Okay, well, that looks like everybody likes it, Bart.
Wait till, I'll ask Peter again if this, Peter made these notes about it, and do please be aware that, say, and this is going back to the discussion you just had around the terminology glossary, that effectively you start talking about the change of code elements, so it's not relevant. The change of the name of a country is not relevant, effectively. That's causing the change of the code element. So the real anchor point, I would say, is the change of code element.
Yeah, exactly. That's one level of indirection. The change of name causes the change of code element. You could potentially have a change of code element without changing the name, although I can't see why that might happen, but there's no reason in theory why it couldn't. Okay, well, if that's the case, I suggest merge the red line stuff, possibly email Peter directly to see if there's any input from him, and we'll bring it back to the next meeting.
Yeah, okay, I'll do. So that's an action item for staff to contact Peter. Check and the others, check whether they're comfortable, and then we can conclude at least this scenario to this stage. And we have at least one historical, we've looked into the some of the historical cases.
Sure, and we can bring the clean version to the next meeting and check with Peter in the meantime, particularly if he can't make next meeting, but if he can, but even so, we do the clean. Thank you. Okay, next item. Change of from exceptionally reserved to transitionally reserved first reading. Not entirely sure what that means, but can you expand on that a bit more?
It's on mute. Can you put on the next document, please? I think this is the similar agenda from last time. Again, I try to capture in the title what has been done and expanded this document a little bit, I believe. Let me scroll through it. Yes. I did not go into the details as much as I did on the previous one, but in this scenario, and going back to the terminology used, the end stage change of the listing on the ISO 3166 is effectively the removal from the list of country names as defined in the standard itself. So that's a revision. If you look at the cases, the historical cases, and it's not fully, so I haven't included all, and I refer back to Nigel's document at the time, you got the SU, which was removed from the, say, list of country names as defined in ISO 3166 in 99. The neutral zone is another one, is another example. YU, Yugoslavia, was removed from that list in 2003. CIS, Serbia, Montenegro, was removed in 2006, and Serbia, as you all will know and recall, has been removed twice. Okay, first of, in the first instance as Czechoslovakia, and then later on in Serbia and Montenegro, and I've included it here because it's an interesting case with respect to the retirement of CCTLDs. And the last one to date has been AN, the Netherlands, and TILS. So this is just examples of removal from the standards, so from the list of country names as defined. So the code element was removed. So based on that, say, I've looked at, say, what I just discussed is whether the removal resulted in a retirement process. And based on the DRD Working Group and IANA reports I looked into, effectively you could see two cases which meet this particular instance. So that's YU, Yugoslavia, which was initiated in 2003, CD IANA reports, and the Netherlands Antilles, .AN, which was initiated in 2010 when it was removed. As said in the past, but I've included here, SU was removed from the list of country names as defined in the standard. However, it did not result in the retirement of the CCTLD.SU. SU was added later on again to the list of exception reserved code elements. So that is a particular case. I just mention it here to show and to record what happened in this particular case. Because, and then what I've done, I haven't looked into the details yet of all these different records. What I have done, and maybe Kim and or others from PTI, it would be helpful if you could check whether I've listed all the relevant background documentation and material, because I think that is more important than initial analysis, that at least it's transparent where all the different decisions and discussions have taken place. So if you would scroll down to documentation, I have included the IANA reports with regard to YU, and the, there are effectively three, I would say. One is on the delegation of the IRS top-level domain. The other one is on the delegation of the .me domain. And then the third one is the removal of the YU domain, formerly. So that's a separate IANA report. And then on the AN is the delegation of the .cw domain and the SX domain. And I haven't completed my research in the sense of I'm not aware whether there is a IANA report on the removal of the .an domain name or whether it's just somewhere else. I've also included the relevant or related board minutes and background material, the discussion paper from May 2006, because it relates to at least one or two, and some additional documentation. So that's, first of all, letters from on the AN, which I could find, and I'm still looking for some of the responses with respect to, I know they haven't been included yet, from YU, but I know some people on this call and in the working group are very familiar with the YU case, so maybe they do have some background material that could be included and that is relevant for the RUM, which is publicly available at least. So that's where I've got. I need still need to do the say answer tentatively do the research on the initial questions. That's something for the next call, I would say. The reason for not moving forward on this one is more a check with you whether this is a reasonable approach before putting in a lot of effort. So you got the results, say, from the first scenario, and this is effectively the second scenario, and probably the only other relevant scenario looking at historical cases, where you could learn from and where you could see the practices that has been used to date. So that's more a question for the working group and for you chairs, whether this is a reasonable approach and whether you want me to continue to do this research, and probably I'll reach out to others as well, particularly some of the working group's members.
That's okay, Bart, thanks very much. Yeah, that's great, Bart. Thanks very much. I see a couple of comments going through the chat. Everhart, would you like to make your point live?
What point?
About the code element.
As the trigger?
Yes.
Yeah, what I wrote there was that while it's very interesting what causes code elements to be removed from the assigned lists to the transitional reserve or to what any other state is very interesting, it's not relevant for the process that for the policy that we could come up with. For us, it's only important if the code element gets removed, then we must. This could be a trigger event that puts things into motion. That's basically my. All the other things is interesting, but it's not going to help us much in with regards to designing policy.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Everhart. Do we have any more comments on this second document? I don't see any hands up at all. I see lots of people typing in the chat. Put your hand up. No further comment from Nick. And Danko says, yes, the code element is key. Okay, well, in that case, I think we've gone through this item on the agenda. We've been fairly efficient so far. We've taken about half an hour of the meeting.
Before you move forward, say, my takeaway from this part of the conversation is that you want me to go on and say start having and inserting the responses based on the material to the different questions that are in the document. Because say up till now I've been a bit reluctant because it takes some time to do so. So Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I think unless I hear any opposition, and I see Nick's hand is up, unless I hear any opposition, I think the feeling of the group is that you should progress forward in such a manner. Nick, it's, you have the floor. Are you on mute? Nick, you have the floor. I'm not hearing anything. Everhart, Bart, are you hearing anything?
Maybe he's on mute.
Yeah, or his connection is bad. Nick, can you type it, please?
Okay, I see he is typing, so let's just wait until we get that comment before we move on. We have time. Okay, so Nick's comment is that he wanted to make the point the historic scenarios are an important part of the work.
Can I say, may I pick up on one point, and I think that's relevant for the, that needs to be done and dealt with at some point, is Kim Davies' mindfulness say remark that say IDNs, whether they fast track or in future the overall policy, in principle this group is supposed to develop a policy around the retirement of those CCTLDs as well, IDN CCTLDs. So what probably is one of the scenarios is that the IDN CCTLDs are a separate category that needs to be identified and check what is the relevant definitions, etc., and how that refers to the code elements and what the impact will be.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. I can see Eberhard's got his hand up, and Nick's final comment was, let's not get too hung up. The key is what's a good policy going forward. And your timing in making that comment is exquisite, because that's what we're going to talk about under item 6 shortly, but Eberhard still has a hand to be serviced. So Eberhard, your turn.
Yeah, basically Bart preempted me. We need to look at the definition, how an IDN is defined or comes into place, because if a TLD gets retired that has, for which a corresponding IDN or more exists, that has an impact, and we need to make sure that this enters policy.
Yeah, thanks, Eberhard. Do we have any more comments on item 5 on the agenda before I move on to item 6? Okay. So we don't actually have a document for this, do we, Bart?
No, that was yours.
Indeed. Okay, well, I'll be fairly brief on this, because I want to bring out the discussion from the floor, as it were. But I think we've spent some very useful time in our meetings, both face-to-face and on the teleconferences, in getting up to speed, in getting the tools that we need to examine what we're going to do forward. And so now the time has come to move forward and to start bringing forward policy recommendations for dealing with the various types of retirement. So I'm going to throw the open to the floor for discussion on this. And if you continue to be so shy, I'll get Bart to make some suggestions. Do we have any comments about the future direction of the group in terms of producing substantive policy from the tools that we've got in front of us? Obviously, we're not going to get any... I was talking, Eberhard. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. But we're obviously not going to get too much by way of suggestion, so either everybody is totally and utterly... at Eden with everything that you're doing so far, or they've all fallen asleep. Have you got some suggestions for a a way forward. Should we maybe throw a call out for written suggestions for how the substantive policy should develop over the email or what?
Maybe my thinking is probably it's, let's say, twofold. First, I'll finish the historical analysis that needs to be done anyway, and maybe that, say, the chair and co-chair or the vice chair and I will start looking at the some basic characteristics so that, say, like, I think that that's a very important point, what we already identified, which will drive the discussion. Say, it's very clear that something like the removal of a code element from the list of country names and then using the precise definitions from ISO 316 is already a starting point. So start developing some basic principles. If you go back in the, say, around the work around the IDN Fast Track and the overall policy, that's how we did it as well. Start developing some basic principles on, say, what the group thinks should, and these basic principles almost result in a kind of policy. That's one. I also think, and that's the nice thing about these the historical data, there are some cases, and say there have been some issues with some of the, say, or CCTLDs who are in the process of retiring. They could be used as a kind of kind of test, strength test in future. So develop a list of tests around whether a policy that the group will develop suits the real world environment. So that's the strength tests, I believe they were called in the CCWG, but you can do it, yeah, you can call them differently as well. So these are already, I would say, three ways forward for this group to start really thinking about a policy. Say, first is the historical analysis, then derive, say, from this historical analysis, derive principles and write them down and detail them into a kind of recommended policy, and then go back and do some stress testing. Nick, you have your hand up.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Oh, that's
yes,
great.
Yes, we do. Loud and clear.
Fantastic. Now, I have two browsers, and my usual browser doesn't support the plugin for the audio. I can just do the hearing. And I don't have the admin authorization to add extra stuff for security reasons. It's quite restricted. So I sort of sometimes get a bit frustrated with being unable to add third-party plugins and stuff. But this one seems to be okay. I did try and test it previously. So apologies. Yeah, I think the historical review is really, really important because it gives you a good insight into what works well in the past and what, you know, more importantly perhaps did not work so well for different communities in terms of particularly timing and an orderly transition which works. So I do think it's a really, really good thing to go back and look at the lessons of the past. But just to, you know, just thinking about, you know, a code element change for United Kingdom, say. And you know, we've got sort of 12 over 12 million domains, some of which are on 10-year registration. And so I think there are some lessons from the past which can't really readily translate into some of the scenarios potentially that we're going to have to look at going forward. So I just wanted to sort of just sort of make that point that it's extremely useful, but only up to a certain point, I feel. So I was interested in terms of the work track going forward, and I've, it's probably my fault, but I've lost memory as to at what point we go into the different phases and how long this one's going to go on for. Because I think the substance and the difficult part of the drafting starts to kick in when we try to create something which gives sort of a certain policy so that people know where they're at, but also allows some sort of flexibility, because it could be quite straightforward when you've just got a name change, everybody's in agreement, and the same operator is carrying on operating. It's essentially a sunset, an orderly sunrise into a new CCTLD. But there are some other examples where it could be extremely complicated, where you've got Yugoslavia-type situations, and to think about the United Kingdom and whether we'll do something separate from Northern Ireland in the fairly near future. I haven't got my head around the shape of the program going forward, and I'd be interested to hear, and maybe perhaps a reminder of the work program that we had at the beginning, as a reminder perhaps every call or two, just to check that we're on track with where we thought we were going to be and what's coming up next.
Okay, Nick, thank you. Eberhard, your hand is up.
I just wanted to point
you,
out that can somebody go on mute, please?
Go ahead, Eberhard.
I'm hearing nothing now.
Oh, my! I was on mute. No, I thought I heard Nick mentioning in passing that if the local community was okay with it, that the previous operator could carry on. I don't think the local internet community is being can be asked for incumbents. They're only being asked on the selection of a new one. But that's just a little pet issue from my time on the FOI working group.
Yeah, thanks, Eberhard. Just one comment from me. We talked about the possibility of applying a stress test to the policy. What we'll need to do in parallel with producing substantive recommendations is to produce the objectives of the recommendations. Decide what it is that we want to achieve by the fringe policy, and some of those objectives could be in tension with each other. They could be pulling in different directions, such as the need to do an orderly retirement against the need of the registrants for certainty and so on. So I think we'll get into that in detail in the next meeting or the meeting after that. But if we can put some thoughts together on paper by the next meeting, but I think that would be quite helpful. Any other thoughts?
This is Bart again for the record. What is interesting is going back to, and maybe that's a good thing, if you look at the document on the screen and you would scroll to page 2, say, first we got all these different scenarios based on your initial discussions. Then you more or less agreed to a set of preliminary questions. So under, say, section B2. And I think some of these, I use these questions now for the analysis. But at the same time, if they pass the analysis, you could change the questions, and they also almost become the drivers for the policy. Because, say, if say these questions, and through the questions, you're able to describe the process in full and get the different interests, etc., on the table, and it, say you get a fulsome description of the different cases, So you can also use these questions to drive the policy itself as an initial start. For example, who initiates the retirement process? It could be a normative question, but it could also be it is a question for analysis. So effectively, if you would use the word who should initiate a retirement process, you always have a question that drives the policy development in your work.
That's great, Bart. Thanks very much. Have we got any more comments on the next step agenda item? I don't see anybody's hand up except Bart, and he's just put it down. Okay, then I think we have a plan. Any other business, item 7? Does anybody have any other business? Or even any other business? I'm not going to give as long a pause this time as I did last time. Bart, any final comments?
No, Eberhard has to stand up.
Now that you ask me, I don't like the 8-hour intervals. I prefer 6-hour intervals. But it's not ditch time.
I'll give you a spade. Nick, your hand's up. You have the floor.
Nick, you may be on mute.
Again, Nick.
Oh, hi, sorry. Could you just recirculate the overall sort of time plan and project plan for this PDP? I know we saw it at the beginning, but I suppose I've sort of forgotten where we are in terms of what the work was to be doing and what's coming up next, I suppose. So I suppose just, like I said previously, a reminder of what the original plan was in terms of the timing and the topics and which order they come up would be really useful as a reminder, because I've totally forgotten what we agreed on initially.
No problem, Nick. No problem. We'll circulate it again. And maybe add some more meat to the bones.
Thanks, Bart. Well, with that, unless I see any hands up in the last few seconds, I think we're coming to the conclusion of this meeting. We've got an action item, and four. Next meeting will be at the 14th of December at 1 UTC in the morning. That's 1 a.m. for me. Maybe difficult for other people as well. But that's the rotation that we're on at the moment. If the majority of the group wants to change it back to a different rotation, I'll be guided by the wishes of the group. But I'll leave it to Bart and perhaps to take the temperature of various people, if that's something you could do. Anything else? Silence says nothing. Then we're done. Thank you all for coming. 5 minutes to spare.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nigel. Thanks, Nigel. Thank you all.